Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in, unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality. Shane Jones.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D's taking aboard a craft with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
What is up, Inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane. And today for you guys, I got something a little bit different. Today I'm having somebody come on who actually runs a horror podcast. And I'm sure as a lot of you guys probably have seen, a lot of people that are into horror tend to have had paranormal experiences and other weird things happen to them. So of course we dive into some horror stuff and then we start diving into some paranormal experiences. But it's definitely a fun conversation and I definitely think you guys will enjoy it. But before we get into that, of course, we have to do news and updates and some of the front of house. It's slow, quickly approaching Small Town Monster Fest. So if you guys haven't already got yourself some tickets for that, make sure you guys scoop some tickets. I'm going to be there vending, of course, with Oren and Riley from Midwest Mythos is going to be there too. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have the full crew there. Even Jenny, the old co-host from Bizarre Encounters, is going to be hanging out with us and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of you guys out there. And if any of you guys are planning on coming out there, let me know. And if I know you by face name, of course, I will point it at you out and we will be able to have a conversation. Maybe be able to hang out after, but of course make sure you guys scoop some tickets for that. It's going to be June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Doubletree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free, but everybody else, you guys have to make sure you guys get your tickets, like I said, before they run out of tickets, because I know this is going to be a huge great event this year. Going into the restructured front of house stuff, if anybody has an encounter that they would like to report, you guys can report those to OMM encounter reports at outlook.com. There is also a submission form on the link tree for that that says report an encounter. Depending on what you want to do with it, of course, I'd like to kind of either one, read them in the beginning of the show, of course, or possibly even do an episode where I have some of you guys record yourself and send it in to me so I can kind of make a structured episode out of it. But if you don't want to do any of that, you just want somebody to talk to you about your experiences, I'm always here for that too, of course. Just shoot me a message and let me know exactly what you want to do with them. And if you enjoy this show, don't forget to go and check out my other podcast, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren. Over there, we deep dive into stuff, a little bit less as far as the interviews go, but kind of diving into the same topics, of course. And you guys can also check out our other show that we do, Bizarre Inquiries, which is a YouTube and Patreon show. We usually try to drop at least one episode of that a month on the main feed, but the rest of it, of course, will be Patreon exclusive. And if anybody has any questions they would like to submit for that, you guys can always shoot me a message on social media through email. Any way you guys want to get a hold of me, if you use your question, even if it's a Patreon episode, we'll make sure that you are able to listen and check out that episode. And if you guys want to support the show, there's a couple different ways you guys can do it. You guys can leave a 5-star rating / review on iTunes / Spotify / whatever podcatcher you guys happen to use. And of course, if you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read it on the show and give you guys a big shout out. And you guys can also support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Over there, I recently updated the tiers. I also added a $1 ad-free / early access tier. So there's a lot of new restructuring that went on over there, bigger discounts for smaller tiers and stuff like that. I added a couple more tiers. So if you guys are interested in that, there is a 7-day free trial for a couple of the tiers, and there's going to be a lot of new stuff going on over there as far as another Patreon exclusive show that I am currently in the process of working on. I'll give you guys, of course, a little bit more updates as we get a little bit farther into that. And then the third way you guys can support the show is through the OMM merch store. There will be an exclusive discount that you guys can get by coming to Small Town Monster Fest 2. So I'm putting that out there now, of course. I think Cryptid 10 might still be active. I'm not 100% sure. If it is, it should say it at the top of the page, but I will be dropping a new design on there if I haven't already, and I will be dropping that on social media if you guys want to check that out before I even drop the design in the store, of course. And to stay up to date on the show, don't forget to go and check out Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram, Facebook, Discord, YouTube, and TikTok. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, fellow podcaster and YouTube creator, Graveyard. How's it going today, man?
Good, good. How about you?
Not too bad. Super long day. And honestly, at the end of the day, I look forward to being able to sit down and do a podcast and kind of escape the real world for a little while, you know, after having a long day at work. So really looking forward to the conversation and seeing what we're going to get into today, man.
Yes, I'm excited. We've been planning this for a little bit now. I'm excited to have the opportunity to be here with you. I'm excited to talk all things paranormal and spooky with you.
Oh yeah, perfect. After some slight technical issues, of course, but we ended up making our way through that, of course. And you know, some people might chalk that up to the paranormal, knowing that, you know, if a good conversation is going to happen, they got to do some interference, but we'll just call it technical difficulties, but we figured it out.
Yes, there's ghosts in the machine.
Exactly. There's demons and ghosts in the machine, man. Go ask AI. They'll tell you the same answer, man.
Exactly.
So I guess a good spot to start for anybody that may not be familiar with who you are, what you do. Why don't you let them know a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what you create and why you got into it.
Yes. So most people know me online, the community as Graveyard. I am half of the Mostly Pod Night, Mostly Podcast. We've been doing that show about 2 years now, and we are prepping for episode 100 of that, where we do weekly movie reviews of horror movies. And, you know, it's sometimes a lot of fun. Sometimes we watch some really shit movies.
Hey, but sometimes those are awesome, too, though. Those end up being, like, the cult classics, you know? Like, the real effects stuff is, like, the practical effects. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a 90s kid, but, like, growing up with that stuff, all the CGI just doesn't have the same feel as, like, the other stuff may be goofy, but it just feels more real than, like, the CGI stuff does, because your brain, like, knows it's computer created, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was born in the 80s, so raised the 90s kids with horror movies, and we had all the practical effects. But what we like to do on the show is we really dive into, like, 100 years of horror movies at this point in time. And just kind of I torture my co-host Salem with cheese. He hates cheesy movies.
Those are the best.
I love cheesy movies. So we try to find a happy balance with the cheese and the good, and really a way for us to come back to our roots of browsing the video rental stores and movies that we didn't get a chance to see growing up.
Man, so, I miss those days of being able to walk through the aisles and just look for movies, because it had a different feel to it in the aspect of, like, when you're on Netflix and stuff, you see some crappy B-class, like, indie film, and you're just not that interested in it most of the time. But back in the day, when you're going to the video store and you'd see those, like, cheesy horror movies and stuff that were just like, you know, Kill Party 6, like, stuff like that, you're just more prone to actually check it out and rent it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that, that's, and we love it. And our tagline is, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
Unless they're worth watching.
Unless they're worth watching. We will let you know. We give out of tens that changes every week. We keep track of it. We're just having so much fun. We've met some really awesome people doing this show. Now we're starting to get recognized a little bit in the Chicago area. I've been at, you know, venues and concerts. People are like, you're him. I'm like, yes.
I'm that guy.
I'm that guy. And so we've been, like I said, doing that almost 2 years. We sponsor the massacre in Chicago every year of the past couple of years. And after doing that for about a year or so, I'm on a couple, as you said, content creator for YouTube. I'm on a couple other YouTube channels that's not horror. A lot of nerdum stuff. Star Wars, lightsabers, just X-Men comics, all that stuff that we just talk across the board. And part of what I do is watch someone build Legos and then interview someone. And so, you know, I was talking to those guys there that I'm wearing their hat, distance staring, shouts to them. I've been talking to really great people and indie comic book creators, stuff like that. And they brought in some indie horror movie creators about a year ago because of me. And so I've been talking to them. And they go, you should do your own show. I'm like, all right.
Maybe.
Maybe. So we've almost had a year now of Conversations of the Void, where we talk to people in the horror world, whether they're writers, directors, marketing, actors, production designers, special effects people. We bring them onto the show, and we've been having such a blast with it. You know, it's, and this is where people always go, is there really another person to my podcast? Yes, he's right there. But you will never see his face. I somehow am the face of the podcast as Graveyard. How that happens, I have no idea. But he kind of is my off-screen producer for a lot of what we do, just because he likes to write and be behind the scenes. So I will interview the people live as we go do it. And people are honored to, you know, finally realize what Salem looks like. Like I said, he's right here.
But, you get a cartoon, you get a caricature.
Yes. And over the course of almost 2 years here, we've been able to branch out in, with our podcast and be part of a Comic-Con radio distribution network as well. So they've been putting our podcast out on their site, and they've been kind of broadcasting us out as well. We've been their horror channel for about a year now, which has been really awesome. We met some really great people, and they're starting to send us to horror conventions and being able to interview people and everything like that too. So it's been a wild ride for how long we've been doing it, and it's just really a blast, because they even have us writing for their spoiler magazine now too.
Oh, that's awesome. Articles.
So we're just kind of getting into everything horror as we possibly can.
I mean, just for the sake of, since we're digging into horror before we get into all the cool paranormal stuff, yeah. I got to ask, there's a couple of different, I guess, favorite / movies categories. So for me, at least, like, favorite scary movie growing up, of course, I got to ask you too. And favorite scary movie currently, and favorite or worst horror movie. I got to throw in the worst one on the list too. Which one do you think was just god awful garbage?
All right. Favorite horror movie of all time. Evil Dead.
Yes, number two. I agree with that. You would deal with that one.
Hands down, you won't be able to see it, but half of my horror sleeve is Evil Dead. So, you know, we have the hand, we have the car, we have the Book of the Dead on there. Some say I'm a little obsessed with Bruce Campbell, and I am.
That's the issue with the newest movies, is the fact that it's like you want those goofy one-liners, and if Bruce Campbell's not in it, I mean, to me, it's just not Evil Dead. I mean, I know he's trying to do what he originally wanted to do back in the day and ended up being campy and cheesy, so we ran with it. But, like, that's the fan base you've developed. So now that you're, like, changing it up, it's like all the OG fans just want the stupid one-liners from somebody, like Bruce Campbell, or at least somebody like Bruce Campbell, you know?
Right. I completely agree. And I said my nerdom and fangirling of Bruce Campbell is so huge that my son, who was born on Bruce Campbell's birthday, his name, Ash William.
Oh, that's awesome. Dude, I got to throw this one in there since you know about Bruce Campbell, because I talked about this recently on a show, and every single time I throw it to people, they have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. My name is Bruce. Have you seen that one?
I saw it in Chicago with him there.
Oh, even better. So that's like honestly one of my favorite just off the wall goofy movies with him, just because the whole idea that he's just himself in that and thinks that he's going to be on a movie set and ends up all being real. And he's just like, what is this? These are crappy effects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love the movie. I dragged my now wife to that in 2008. So we got to meet Bruce Campbell. And he was a sarcastic asshole, as you expect him to be.
Of course. He's one of those people that I think he is who he is. And that's why he's the same character and everything. Because there's like the actors that become another person. And then there's the actors that are like, that's their personality. And then that's what they get picked for. So like, I haven't seen him as anything else. So I would assume that that's his personality at that point.
Oh, it really is. Because we did Last Fan Standing last year. He did that tour with the Bruce Rama tour and he hit Chicago. We were in the front row seats. The first top four people were made up to the stage and got to play with Bruce Campbell. I only got to rank 11 out of 1,000 people for the horror trivia. But we did get to meet him, despite him being 2 hours late because he is drinking at the bar.
That's a very Bruce Campbell thing to do.
Oh, it really is. It really is. Current favorite horror movie, like this year, or just like something that I...
Just like modern day movies, I guess. You know, the classics are the classics, but the more modern day stuff.
I have a soft spot for The Witch.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually have the Funko for Black Phillip right in the case behind me.
Yeah, because it is a atmospheric horror movie that is a period piece, which everyone period piece now is the 80s.
All the period pieces that are like 1800s horror always end up being like my personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Like I watched one recently, Apostle. That one was pretty good. That was like early 1900s. And I just really dig, especially when they do a good job of it.
Right. Apostles, where they had the screw into the head, right?
Yeah. There was like the cult island of people. And the guy goes to like rescue his sister. And I don't want to give spoilers because it's a newer age movie. But essentially, this guy is trying to get into this cult and try to save his sister. And yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So like I said, I'm also really enjoying everything that A24 is putting out, that Blumhouse for the most part is putting out, and Ari Aster with Midsommar, with Hereditary, and even Beau Was Afraid.
I wasn't actually a fan of Hereditary. Like, I've heard a lot of big horror fans say that that's like one of their absolute favorites. Like, it wasn't for me, if I'm being honest with you. It had like the one big scene, of course, with the sister. Yep. Again, not throwing it out because I know there's people who haven't seen it, but that one just didn't do it for me. Which is weird, because I really enjoyed The Witch, and I know they're made by the same guy, so.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I give all new horror movies an equal opportunity to wow me as much as they possibly can. Now, for the worst one, like I said, we rate these, so we keep track of this stuff. All right, this is where where Sal and I get always controversial with our pick. We say overall, the worst movie that we have done in the 350 we reviewed so far, Exorcist Believer.
Ooh, I was going to say, I got one that's a big fan favorite that I think was just god-awful garbage that I actually got up and walked out of the movie theater, and it's a movie that everybody loves for some reason.
What's that?
Paranormal Activity.
First one?
All of them. All of them are just garbage to me. Like, I watched like half of each of them and then fast forwarded to the end, and I was just like, all right, I'm done with these. I know what they were going for because it was like the low production thing, but it's hard for me to watch the like Vantage Points movies unless they like really, really get you in, you know? Like, there's very few of them that really catch my attention like that. But I know there's certain movies that kind of have to get done that way because it just fits the movie itself. Like, what was that one called? There was a Sasquatch movie that was like something Creek.
There was Boggy Creek, and then there's Willow Creek.
Willow Creek, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Was Bobcat that did that.
Yep, that one. That one was like one of those few movies I could watch that's done in that style that I really enjoyed. Of course, Blair Witch is like one of the classics. But for the most part, it's just unless it fits the reason for the movie and it couldn't get done any other way, I'm just usually not a big fan of stuff being shot like that. Like, I like the the stuff where they do like the weird filters and like colorations and kind of do like a not too artistic to the point where it doesn't make any fucking sense, but like artistically filmed that there's a lot of it done in like 90s, 80s, kind of going back where they did like the lighting effects and everything that is just missing in a lot of modern day movies. It's just more about the gore than anything. They don't care about like the lighting and ambiance so much anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's I can't do too much of like the first person shot movies unless they're just really good.
Oh, don't watch any horror movies I'm currently making then. Because yes, I am making horror movies
now. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
What's I gotta ask then, because you said that you're filming in that style, what's some of the themes of them? If I don't know if you want to give away too much information, if it's something you're currently working on, but
I've been doing this a year now with interview people. I got hooked up with someone that is part of the Horror Dads film production. They're across the country and they're doing found footage cryptids.
Ooh, see, that is something that would catch my attention, because Willow Creek definitely caught my attention. And then there was another movie series where it was like these paranormal investigators and they went into this like insane asylum and the one guy goes missing in it. They did two of them.
Grave Encounters.
Yes. Those ones are really good filmed in that style too.
Yeah. So like I said, I'll give Horror Dads a shout out because I work with them a lot. We actually just filmed one of their new movies this past weekend, at least the first weekend of it. I can't say anything about that one. But we, you know, they're doing a cryptid verse. They did Mothman, Woodman, Tahoe Joe 1 and 2. And it's just really great stuff that they're doing. It's very low budget indie horror. And I think found footage works for it just because
the fits the theme with cryptids anyways. Like that's one of those things that it'd be hard to do any other way. You know, like Willow Creek, the reason why it was so horrifying wasn't because they had these crazy effects, but like the scariest scene in that whole movie is the one part where they're sitting in the tent and there's just all like the brushing and stuff getting thrown around outside. Cause you really like, put yourself in that position when it's done in that style, you know?
Yeah. If you like that tent scene, you'll love the tent scene in The Woodman. So there is a tent scene in that. It's just great. You know, I've been small cameo roles and things, hired as an actor just for small parts. And now I'm assisting directing one of these movies with a bunch of my other works in the progress. I can't say too much about what those are going to be just because it's one of them is going to be part of a season 2 of a horror found footage anthology TV series. So think Creepshow or Tales from the Crypt, but found footage.
That sounds great, actually. Like I said, you have to really catch my attention and do that style. And at least the way you're describing it definitely is catching my attention. I'm definitely going to be looking out for these things.
Mm. So it's just an interesting world, like I said, getting into the horror realm of it all for me. It's the community is great. It really is. And I wouldn't trade anything in the world from being able to do stuff with horror. Like I said, I'll age myself here. 2008, I was making shorts and putting it on YouTube. You know? In high school, I was in theater and drama for, you know, two separate things for 4 years and did acting, lighting, camera work, all that stuff too. So it's finally, I took 15 year break to then finally came back to it.
Dude, you and me both, man. I was doing radio and film back in high school. I actually had a full scholarship to go and I was convinced not to go for some reason. And, came back around to it full stuff, just back doing podcasts, stuff like that. Like came full circle, you know, it was everybody's like, oh, you're not going to make a career out of that. You're not going to do anything with that. And you know, here I am trying to build up something to be able to do that again. So,
oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's why I loved it because, you know, you happen to follow me on Instagram. I followed you back and here we are now just because we have a obsession I'd say it's an obsession with horror and everything spooky and paranormal.
I mean, honestly, that's what ends up leading into most of like the cryptid stuff in the first place. It's just either one, people have had their own experiences, or two, it's a profound love for like horror back in the day. And then it kind of builds up to the point where it's like, you want to start looking for some of these creatures and monsters and stuff, possibly like in the real world. So, I mean, digging into movies, I definitely want to dive into like the paranormal stuff with you. But I got to ask too, what's your favorite like subgenre of horror?
My favorite subgenre. I mean, I tend to love creature features.
Yep.
Just because if you have a great creature, it's fantastic. You don't even really have to show, because I feel creature features have the ability to give you a bunch of lore and depth and background that you don't necessarily get. And it's ultimately usually man versus nature.
I was going to say my favorite is sci-fi horror, but honestly, it's basically creature features, because you end up getting these like weird, bizarre alien type being creatures. Like as far as like modern day horror, some of my favorite ones, well, I got to do with the classic, but like one of my favorite movies ever is Alien, like the original couple of them. And then digging into more modern day stuff, like Annihilation was honestly probably one of my favorite modern day sci-fi horror movies. And then that guy did another movie, Ex Machinima or something like that.
Ex Machina.
Yep, that's it.
Yes.
Where it was like the robot horror style, like the sci-fi stuff. I don't know. It gets me for the same reason that like the cryptid tent scene type stuff gets me. It's because it's like, you know that the future is going in that direction. So it makes it more scary, because it's like, you can actually envision that happening in the future. Like it just it has the more real world tie to it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Salem, my co-host, he loves sci-fi more than horror. So when we have a chance to do sci-fi horror, he absolutely loves it.
I wish there was more. There's not enough sci-fi horror, man. It's like there's a good handful of it, but there's just not enough. Like you can basically watch all of like the main sci-fi horror movies within a week and then still be grasping for more, and then you got to dig into like the TV show type stuff. But
there's not as enough good sci-fi horror.
That's true. There's a lot of cheesy stuff.
Yeah. And that was the bait when I was doing my other tattoo section of my sci-fi leg, is what I consider sci-fi versus what I consider horror. So my arm is 80s slashers, but on the back of my leg is a face hugger.
Oh, I actually have a face hugger tattooed right here on my arm.
Nice.
And I got a big xenomorph. You can kind of see the mouth and everything on the back of my arm.
Yep. Yeah. So I have them on my sci-fi leg just because it's sci-fi is the first part of it, and then horror is the second part.
I mean, I'd be more terrified of a xenomorph than like Jason Voorhees, for example. Maybe not Freddy Krueger, because that motherfucker can get you in your dreams, but I'd be more scared, terrified of a xenomorph than Jason.
Yeah. Like I said, I always consider the original Alien. First off, I think the first Alien is horror, until we saw the trailer today from Fede Alvarez for Alien Romulus.
I would say Aliens 2 turned into like an action sci-fi. Still good, but different feel to it.
That's James Cameron for you.
That isolation in space in the first one, though, like you finish the movie and then it has that scene where like the ship's flying off and it has the alien music in the background, and you just really feel like the emptiness of space, because it's like 6 months until home or something like that, and it's just like, god damn. Not only did you just fight a xenomorph off your ship, but you gotta wait 6 months to get home. Like, holy crap. Actually, I think it was longer than that, because she ends up getting stuck somewhere or something, right? And it's like 10 years later for the second movie or something.
67 years.
That's what it was. 67 years. Yeah.
And then 300 years. And then I don't remember years. No one cares about number four. So
where she's the only thing good about the fourth one was that the one with the dog, or was it the one with the hybrid?
That's with the dog was in three at the prison.
So the hybrid one is the fourth one, where she makes that little hole and sucks it through the ship. Yep. That was a good scene. I'll give it at least that scene.
Yes. For Joss Whedon writing that was okay. But yeah, like I said, creature features, and that's why I enjoy cryptids. Like I said, my co-host, we are obsessed with cryptids as well. I can tell you a trilogy of movies that we are working on a cryptid you may not know.
Ooh, I'd love to hear about this one. And if I don't know, you of course have to share the lore and background of it.
The Owl Man of Alsop, Illinois.
I've heard of Owlmen slash things like La Llorona, or not Llorona, Lachusa. But mm-hmm. I have not heard of that one in particular.
So the background's pretty simple. Two methed out truckers.
It's already starting great.
Yeah, they are outside the Coca-Cola plant in Alsop, Illinois, and being very high in meth, they saw this winged creature that looked to be an owl, but human size. So think like Mothman, but owl.
I was going to say, it sounds almost like a Mothman slash flying humanoid, because Mothman was originally described more bat-like, but the reason why they didn't use that was obviously because around that time, Batman was a thing. So they went with Mothman, even though the original descriptions are more bat-like.
Yes. Yeah. So because my co-host lived in Alsop when that story came out, we had this idea many years ago, about 6 years ago, to like, someone should make a movie about this. So we are going to do a found footage trilogy about Mothman, each one being a different genre of horror movie.
Dude, I dig it. I literally watch any of the cryptid horror movies I can find, and every single time I finish one, I'm like, why is there not more people doing cryptid horror? Like, half the work's already done for you because they already have folklore and background, man. You just got to do some research, and it's like endless possibilities of what you could do with this stuff. Like Sasquatch horror. Like, there's some good Sasquatch horror, but again, there's not enough of it. And even like other cryptids in general, like Antlers, they did like a Wendigo one. That one wasn't too bad. It was pretty close to the lore and stuff. Like there's so much opportunity for it and people aren't taking it. Instead, they're just remaking classics that don't need to be remade.
Correct. But yeah, I said Tahoe Joe 1 and 2 is made by Horror Dads. It is a Bigfoot found footage horror movie. So you will see me in Tahoe Joe 2, actually. It actually just came out last week. So So shameless self-promotion there.
Go check it out regardless, but yeah, shameless self-promotion.
So we have ideas for other stuff to do. I have ideas. Like I said, All of My House is going to be my trilogy, kind of like my first actual writing of movies that we're going to do with it. And we are going to go cheesy hard for the third.
You got to do it the classic Evil Dead style. You got to have the one-liners and stuff.
Here's the premise. You get the exclusive. So the first one is a compilation of found footage things that pertain to Owlman. The second one is the cult of Owlman. And the third one is a mad scientist trying to recreate Owlman.
I'm already digging it. That's usually how a lot of horror stuff goes, is that you got like after you get to like the third one where stuff starts getting crazy and off the wall, that's when you start getting those like cult fans that really enjoy it. And then maybe like some of the mainstream people don't watch that stuff as much, but you're getting those ingrained, the viewers that are like in it for the long haul. Once you hit those weird movies and they still dig it, like that's the way to go.
Oh yeah. That's what we're playing with that. I'm hoping to film the first one. Find a mask is hard to do and expensive. So, but try to find a good owl mask, because like I said, features, you need the creature, even if it's a brief scene. If someone ever pauses it, like you can do now, it has to look good.
Do you know what's one that I'm surprised held up with time, even though the effects aren't that great in it, is Dog Soldiers. I just recently watched that one. And looking at the costumes, like it's clearly like a morph suit with like a werewolf head to it. But they do the lighting and stuff so well with it that, like, even when you pause it, it still looks creepy as shit, even though you can tell it's not a super-duper complex costume.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, for sure. So, like I said, I'm trying to find a creepy owl mask that's not the same owl mask that was used recently in Late Night with the Devil or The Grove. So that's what we're doing right now. I'm hoping to film that either later this year or early next year and start that trilogy off. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited to see it, man. And all those fails, if you can't find a good enough mask, you can always do a Halloween where you just take something that is semi-unrelated and paint it and make it look completely different. Like, for most people that don't realize it, Mike Myers' mask is actually William Shatner painted white.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, you know, there's a mask I'm looking at that's like $600. I'm like, I've been asking around, like, custom mask, like, yeah, about $5,000.
You're like, at this point, I'm about to just buy a basic owl mask and a bunch of feathers and just start one by one sticking them in there.
Oh, easily. And that's where my other shows I do with nerdy stuff, we talked to a lot of cosplayers. So I have a lot of cosplay people I can talk to do stuff like that.
Hey, man, if you find the right cosplayer, too, you could always be like, hey, if you make custom costumes, you guys make us this helmet or this mask, and we will completely promote you guys that you guys made it and push you guys business to other places. You got to do the equal trade-off and try to make it beneficial for both you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're definitely doing that with other people, you know, because we're going to start writing a comic book, too.
So. Oh, awesome.
It's going to be Graveyard in Salem, Enter the B-Horror Movie Universe. Because we watched too many bad movies and we want to get trapped in them, and all the, you know, instead of, you know, Freddy Krueger, we're going to have, like, you know, Eddie Finger, not fingers, my fingers.
As long as he says bitch, it gets the point across.
Exactly. I don't think we could ever do as good as Rick and Morty, but.
What do they call his character in that? I don't even remember what it was. It was something like
Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. There it is. And he had like little sword fingers.
Yep. Yeah. It's welcome my nightmare, bitch.
He's at home. They're like, they're still haunting me, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, but yeah, like I said, cryptids, it's on our minds.
So I guess that might be a good lead in spot. I always like to dive into if anybody's had any of their own weird / bizarre experiences, be it UFO sightings, paranormal activity, not the movie, or cryptid encounters. So if you have any of them, man, I'd absolutely love to hear about it.
I have two distinct things from my childhood that come to mind. One is when I was really young, you know, I was obsessed with the real Ghostbusters cartoon, right? As everyone was at that point in time.
Dude, I remember back in the day they had the toys for that at Taco Bell, of all places, when they used to actually have kids' meals at Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the little slammer. I think it was little plastic thing that would, like, spin on, like a stand or something. But, yeah, I remember having the slammer toy from Taco Bell.
That's awesome. I love it. So that was always my assumption. I was probably about 5 or 6. And my sisters had the upstairs part of a house, which is a bedroom. And, you know, we always joked around that my dad's dad had died before I, even when my dad was really young, that his ghost was in her house. We just kind of joke around like, oh, this towel fell off. Oh, it's the ghost, blah, blah, blah. And stuff like that. But I remember being home alone and hearing the TV on upstairs playing the real Ghostbusters theme song. And there's no one home. And it sounded like footsteps were moving up there. I'd go up there. There's no TV on or nothing. And it happened a couple more times. I didn't say anything to my family. And then as I got a little bit older, like, yeah, we always heard footsteps upstairs too. And there was no one up there.
He's just messing with you. Like, who are you going to call? Fictional characters?
Exactly. So it's that weirdness, that unease up there. Because I couldn't tell it to my older sisters. They'd freak out. You know, every time one of our dogs would go up there, they'd pee in the same spot. And it's like, oh, you know, ghosts or dogs are supposed to know where ghosts have been. They pee in the spot. So scared the crap out of my sisters. But like I said, telling these stories now, as I've gotten older and moved out and all this stuff, telling my parents, like, yeah, we moved in. And it's just them. They had the main bedroom was on the main floor. They heard footsteps upstairs, too. They just never told anyone.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. Hey guys, I know nobody really wants to listen to ad breaks on podcasts, so instead of actually listening to those, why don't you go and check out some of the sponsors and affiliate links for the show instead? Number one, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your Squatchy gear needs, or you guys can check out Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites, or you guys can check out Snarly Yao for a fantastic natural line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and body wash, all with an enticing woodsy aroma of smoky cedar with a hint of mint. And he also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are in that area, make sure you guys go and check it out and see what kind of events he's putting on, because he definitely brings in an awesome group of people. And going into the affiliate links, you guys can always go and check out the newest sponsor to the show, Organite, specializing in scale model pyramid replicas, EMF protection devices, and much more. And if you guys find any pieces that you guys want to scoop for yourself, you guys can use code OMM for 10% off at checkout. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, you guys can go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. And if you guys have any technical questions about it, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions for it. And if you use the affiliate link, you guys will receive 10% off at checkout. And just a heads up, the company is based in the UK, so when you check it out on the website, it will be in pounds. But when you guys use PayPal, it will convert over. So don't think that you guys can't scoop one just because you don't live in the UK. And more information on all of those, of course, is available down in the show description. Let's quickly run through some commercials and get back into the show. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
It's kind of weird sometimes when people start digging into their paranormal experiences later in life and they think they're the only ones experiencing it. And then they later figure on that almost everybody in the house is experiencing it and just didn't want to say a word to anybody else. It's like, right. Man, if you would have just told everybody earlier on, maybe we could have done something about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's like I said, there's some weird things. Like when my parents have gone on vacation a couple of years ago, they're like in Europe and I was house sitting at the same house. And I walked in one day and the TV was on in the living room. No one's been home for a day. I go, okay, that's really weird. So I grabbed the baseball bat and searched the house. Nothing there. Turned the TV off. Went the next day to check on it. TV was back on. And I'm just like, all right. I'm like, I called them up. I'm like, is anyone else checking on the house? They're like, no. I'm like, your TV's turned on by itself two different days now. And, you know, they've changed batteries and remotes. They've even changed TVs. The TV will still turn on. So we're thinking something electrical, I mean, as an electrician. But, like, that's still really weird, though, to have TVs being turned on.
I mean, even if there's a power surge, it's not like it turns the TV on.
Right.
So it's not anything with, like, faulty wiring or anything.
Right. The only thing I could rational explanation I think of is maybe Comcast sending something over the coax as a signal to turn the cable box on. They're for turning the TV on, but that's all I got.
They're boosting their numbers and making it look like people are watching more TV than they actually are.
Exactly.
Freaking people out in the process.
You paid for these premium channels this week. We were at home. No, someone's watching it.
Must have been the ghost. The ghost is getting pay per boo.
There you go. So that's been weird. And my parents have sat there and the TV turned on by itself. They weren't even near it. So they're like, okay.
And is this, I'm assuming this is one of the old box TVs too, right?
No, it's a flat screen TV.
Oh, and you said this was happening back in the day too? Like, was it?
The old one was an old tube TV, but the new one's still a flat screen.
So it's through generations of TVs. So it's not even like, again, any type of weird technical issue with the house or anything.
Yeah, we're talking 25 years of technology of TV in different rooms. So it's not even the same circuit, it's not the same outlet. That's really weird.
The ghost in your house, man, is just trying to watch TV. I mean, on the other side, they must get bored, man. They just want to watch some Ghostbusters.
Maybe they got sick of watching the Sox lose all the time. Turn something else on.
I want to watch the Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
It's like horror for ghosts, because what's the worst case scenario? You get put inside of some kind of little mechanical box. So, I mean, horror for ghosts would be Ghostbusters.
I mean, in fairness, the containment unit in the cartoon was vast and big, so you'd want to go there. You don't want to be sitting there making pottery with Demi Moore all day, do you?
Hey, but if you're one of the lucky ones, you get to hang out outside with them. You just got to be goofy and entertaining like Slimer.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the kind of the most paranormal. But as far as, UFOs are concerned, so it was a family trip to my sister's, who's just the next town over, and we were driving down the same road we drive down every single time. It's not that far from our house. And we saw about 5-ish lights in a triangle formation above the road that's just over power lines and everything like that. And we were driving down the road, we're watching this, what is going on here? And so we passed a grove of trees, and we go, this is really weird. My parents saw it, I saw it, my older sister saw it, and she's not believing in it because she doesn't like anything spooky or paranormal. She's like, I'm not seeing this, I'm not seeing this, I'm not seeing this. We turn around as soon as we can, go back, and the lights weren't there anymore. And this is only like a minute. So it, like I said, it wasn't any overhead lights. It was just bright white lights that were there in a triangle formation. And we still talk about this to this day. And my sister, this has probably been, I don't know, maybe 20 years. My sister's like, I don't want to talk about this. It never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. And she's denying it.
Dude, man, at least when it comes to the triangle stuff, I often wonder if those ones end up being like these black budget military projects. Like, it seems like most of the time, the triangle ones just like function a little bit different. Like it might be like reverse technology. And I don't know, that's always, because it seems like a lot of people see the triangle ones too, somewhat near where there's bases. So that's like also the other possible connection to it. But I mean, all the same though, secret technology, you don't know what the intentions are behind it, what it could possibly do. I mean, even back in the day, man, people were seeing stealth bombers and thinking those were like UFOs. But at the time, they technically were UFOs because they're unidentified flying objects, just not in the means that the average person would assume that it is, being extraterrestrial alien related. But
They would have been above Gary, Indiana. I'm pretty sure Gary does not have any military bases there. So we can rule that one out. Being military, so it's just weird because we also looked at, you know, anyone else reporting it in the newspaper the next day, and other people did see it too. So that's the credence we have for it.
Man, I'll have to dig into that too, because when it comes to the triangle things too, if it's like five single lights in a triangle formation, that's like some of like the weird UFO stuff that people will see them start to like dart off in different directions and come back in. At least for like the government ones, I assume that it's like four lights that are obviously all on the same craft itself. But if the one you saw, they were spaced apart, then assumably those were five different crafts flying in some type of triangle formation at that point.
Yeah. We were checking and making sure it wasn't like the Blue Angels doing the Chicago aircraft show or anything like that. That wasn't even in that time frame or anything else like that. Like I said, but it's weird for it to be there and then us to turn around and come back to the same spot within a minute and it to be gone completely, not seen at all. We didn't see it head off any direction at all. So that's kind of a weirdness that we never really got over, to the point it still freaks my parents out. Like a couple months ago, they were standing outside and they saw like a string of lights go across the sky. And they like called me like, "Hey, did you see that?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Starlink."
That's the problem now. It's like you want to look for UFOs, and if you know what to look for, obviously you can tell if something's a plane, throw that one off. But the satellites, though, those still throw off some of the best people looking, because the satellites, like they fly at different heights, they have different colors on them and stuff. Like there's not like universal like planes that you know that there's going to be like a red light and a green light and they're going to blink back and forth and it may look like the same light off in the distance, but as it gets closer you can differentiate it. Satellite stuff, it's like all different and sporadic. It's from a bunch of different countries. Like it's hard to just be like, that's a satellite for sure, and just have like that universal, like that's what it is, you know?
Right. And since, you know, where I live, we are, you know, O'Hare and Midway airports are above our houses all the time. So we're used to planes and all that stuff in the sky. So for us to see something out of the normal is different. Like I said, we're, you know, how many flights come out of those two airports every day?
I mean, how much weird stuff happens in the sky over that area anyways, though? I mean, there's a lot of like the flying humanoid sightings all around the Chicago area. I mean, there's the Chicago Mothman and everything.
Yep.
And then especially with the O'Hare, that was where like one of the most, I guess, prolific UFO experiences happened, where there was like over like 100 witnesses that saw a UFO over the O'Hare airport at one point. I think it was back in like the early 2000s. So I mean, like O'Hare, Chicago in general definitely has their history of weirdness. And I don't know exactly where it maps to on the corner in the water, but there is the Lake Michigan Triangle. And I know that on the one side of it in Michigan, it's supposed to be one of like the top UFO contactee abductee cities. And the other side of it kind of I believe it meets somewhere near Chicago. So if there is that triangle there of high strangeness and weirdness, I mean, I feel like that would contribute to O'Hare, especially considering that there's our flying crafts coming out of there. So of course it's going to draw the attention of other flying crafts.
Right. Isn't that triangle in the Michigan's part where I know Josh Gates investigated like the plane that went down like 1960 something, the passenger flight, they had pieces washed on shore. They just never found.
I don't think I've actually ever heard that story before, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I think Josh Gates on Expedition Unknown looked at that. And there's a lot of, face the Great Lakes have a lot of sunken ships, too.
I mean, at least with like Lake Superior, I was talking about it actually on the last show. There's a whole thing that because it's so cold and so deep, like the bodies don't come up. So that all contributes to just all the legends of the Great Lakes and just how many ships have gone down there in general. Because realistically, it's like basically an inland sea. Like they're fucking huge. People that aren't near the Great Lakes, like go look on a map. Like they're undeniably like some of the biggest lakes in North America, like easily. Actually, I think they are the biggest freshwater lakes in the world, right?
Yeah, they are easily. And to the point where most people didn't realize, like, oh, why would aircraft or aircraft carriers or submersibles be in the Great Lakes? Because that's where bases were, and they're able to build them in Chicago and the steel yards and then go through the St. Lawrence Seaway and get out to sea. So, I mean, that's why a lot of them have sunk in there, just because they are munitions and stuff like that, too.
I mean, just even so, like, just because they're so big, you also have, like, the random waves that'll come out of nowhere, especially in, like, Lake Superior. You hear all these, like, old horrifying sailor tales of just the water's completely calm, and all of a sudden this massive wall comes up out of nowhere and flips a ship. Like, that was always the theory behind the Edmund Fitzgerald, if you're familiar with that shipwreck. Gordon Lightfoot wrote a song about it back in the day and everything. They said that that's supposedly what happened. It was just a random rogue wave started coming at them. They went to go turn the ship and they got caught in that perfect angle and it flipped and capsized and cracked in half and then ended with, you know, one piece up, one piece down at the bottom of the water. And then the water's so cold, nothing came up. Nobody could find it for years.
Like I said, the Great Lakes is just so many shipwrecks that, you know, people are trying to find. It's amazing.
Dude, it makes you wonder how many bodies are probably at the bottoms of the Great Lakes. I mean, if they haven't been completely, like, disintegrated. And I had somebody on, this is why I came up in conversation yesterday, that was talking about Lake Tahoe and how, like, there used to be a bunch of, like, mafiosos and stuff that would, like, throw bodies into there. And there was this perfect buoyant point where, like, the bodies would just sit. And they wouldn't go down, they wouldn't go up, and they would just preserve at that perfect level. And then once in a while, bodies would wash up, and they'd find, like, IDs that were, like, 100 years old from people that were rushing up. And then she was saying, the person I had on, that somebody went down and actually recorded down there, and he never ended up sharing his footage because he basically said, like, you guys aren't ready to see what's at the bottom of Lake Tahoe because it probably looks like a zombie apocalypse down there. Like, if I had to guess, just preserved body, just staggered.
Like I said, that stuff interests me, you know, a lot with paranormal stuff. And, you know, it's kind of tying into the show that we're trying to do the first episode of. And it's going to be called, you're in the exclusive, States Unknown. Now, we're not the first people to do this. We won't be the last people to do this, but we wanted to go to each state and look at different paranormal or cryptid or just weird encounters that happen. And we're going to choose five per state for initially and kind of go and investigate. You know, I consider myself a very scientific minded individual. Like, I do IT for a living. So I like to come things from a skeptic point of view and look at it. So we want to go to these locations. Like, you know, the first one's going to be Beasts of Bray Road. Classic, right?
Of course.
And that's what we're gearing up to do. We're trying to, you know, get people lined up, witnesses, evidence, stuff like that. And then we're going to do like a kind of a four part piece of the show. Is we're going to have the research and talking to people and stuff like that. And then we're going to do kind of, like I said, research and then eyewitnesses testimony and stuff like that. And then our own investigation. And the last part is we're going to obviously try to debunk as much as we possibly can to get rid of the stuff that we can't explain away. If we can't explain it away, we'll find people to help us explain it. And we want to then, share the findings with, the community as a whole and do like live Q&A and just start this whole discussion point of, here's what we found, here's what we think it can be, and go with that. And we're not there to necessarily, call people liars or anything like that, but we want to see what we have, because, if you eliminate the known, you're left with the unknown. So anything that we can have that we can't explain away is more corroborative evidence, we feel, into that world.
Now, you say a show. Are you planning on doing this as like a video thing or like as a podcast?
As a video thing. We are going to build a deck and pitch it.
So are you, that's what I was going to ask. Is it going to be something that you guys are going to end up putting up on YouTube? Or are you guys actually trying to like get it picked up by like a channel or?
Yeah, we're going to try to get it picked up with a channel because, working with the indie horror filmmakers that we know, and we're all part of that community now, and they're helping us, some of the people are helping us make it, is we are able to pitch ideas to Shudder, to, you know, Tubi and stuff like that. And he said, we're just working on the pilot episode and we'll see how that goes. We're still going to film the first state. So still going to do 5 episodes and have it ready to go as our deck that we're going to present to stuff like that. I know lots of people have done this, but I really want to focus on the United States, not go overseas and just do a multitude of things. Not going to just be trying to find Bigfoot for, you know, 20 years or just, you know, UFOs for 20 years. You know exactly what shows I'm talking about, that we want to just do all supernatural, all paranormal stuff in states and be able to have this, and, you know, you're part of the community too, just grow that community and have, you know, people have arguments and come to agreements on evidence and stuff like that too, because there's always big debates on evidence.
And I mean, you know, even within like each cryptid too, there's so many different mm-hmm. camps, because so much of it is like seemingly impossible to prove either way. I mean, with like Sasquatch, for example, with the flesh and blood crowd and the interdimensional quantum Bigfoot crowd, like, and right. then there's the people with Mothman that are like, oh, you know, it's just something that came through a time slip. The other ones are like, oh, it's a harbinger of doom. Others are like, right. oh, it's just some type of animalistic creature. Like, there's so many different splits within the community, even within each individual mm-hmm. cryptid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we want to take the evidence we can. Like I said, we're not there to, like I said, call anyone charlatans or anything like that. We just want to help eliminate the evidence that can be explained away to see what is actually left that we can discuss and bring as community and help bring this to light. I mean, as a whole,
if you dig into a lot of the paranormal stuff too, there's mm-hmm. always like a root for most of the legends. And a lot of yeah. the, like the investigators that I've had on the show, they talk about this whole idea that you'll like, it's usually like a game of telephone, you know, that, yeah. you know, there may have been like a doctor that died in a hospital. Then all of a sudden people are telling the stories for generations. And it turns into there was this mad scientist who was operating on patients and stuff. And he was like messing with their heads when it may have just been like a doctor who was, you know, doing brain surgery. And he maybe lost a patient or two. And it turned into this like whole crazy paranormal legend. And
right.
I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of that where there's like that root source, especially with the paranormal, that you just got to find where the original stuff came from. And then you can kind of make the rest of it seem a lot less scary. Cause with the paranormal stuff, with so many kids going to the area, retelling the stories through generations, people picking up those things, like the cryptid stuff, it seems like it turns into like the fisherman tale where it's yep. like, oh, it's this big. Oh, it's this big. Oh, it's this big. But with the paranormal stuff, it just starts completely like twisting and contorting into something very different that just kind of shares loosely connected pieces. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Ed Gein. I mean, perfect yeah. example. That's pretty much what happens with the paranormal retelling stories.
Yeah. oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when we do our ghost hunting that we're going to do and paranormal stuff, yes, we have the same equipment that other people use. And yes, we are absolutely doing research to find that original lore, because that's what we're really interested in, is the original lore, the original story, and how that has metamorphosized over the years. And, you know, we are going to have people that don't know the full story when doing the investigations, because if you tell someone, hey, at this doorway at 3 a.m., if you're a woman, the back of your leg is brushed, and you send a woman there at 3 a.m. in that front of the door, they're more likely to feel that brush that they didn't have that information.
Very true.
So it's kind of a blind study, right? Is that, you know, one of like our researcher who's going to be Salem, he knows all the information and we're going to explain it. But when we're doing the investigations, we're going in there knowing something's here, or, you know, something is being claimed that is here without knowing much more of it at that point in the investigation. So anything that we experience that collaborates with the research is completely different.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Dude, when you start digging into some of the old stuff, it's like you almost kind of have to watch certain things, because I'm always extremely surprised at how many cryptids and, well, one in particular that I know of offhand, and a lot of the paranormal stuff is actually related to scaring away different groups of people, and actually is more of like yep. a racial thing. Cause like yes. the Snallygaster is a prime example, where the whole thing was that it like ate people of African descent. And that was the whole thing, is that it was like, oh, stay away from the Snallygaster. And then right. like digging into some of the paranormal stuff, like there was I had on Mark Munt or Mark Muncy from Erie, Florida / Erie, Appalachia. Mm-hmm. He wrote those books and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the Gator Lights. And basically what it came down to at the end of it was that there used to be this like gator farm that would find missing just random like African-American kids and stuff and like throw them in and like feed them to their gators. And it created this like whole legend of like the Gator Lights and all this kind of stuff. And like this woman that would come and she would snatch up the kids if they didn't behave and like all this kind of stuff. And it just turned into this like giant legend, but it all goes back to like these really, you know, almost like history you want to forget, like racial stuff, you know?
Yeah. I said, that's what we're interested in, just because, you know, yes. Are some of us actors that are going to be in this? Yes, we are. If you see my acting skills and you see me in the show, you realize I'm not a good actor. So anything that you see me do is going to be genuine.
Do the dramatic reenactments. Those are always the best, because you use the cheesy actors and it ends up being perfect.
we have cast for that.
What's that light?
You know, I just said there's obviously places that we're going to that other people have been to, and we realize that, and we're trying to just do kind of like an updated modern take of it as well. As you know, we're in the podcasting world, right? We have the community that you can reach into now and have live discussion. You can have all the stuff that you couldn't have when you were doing these shows 20 years ago, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, that it wasn't really there. And we want to bring that into more of a modern earpiece, that we're able to share this information and have new technology to help, you know, look at videos, look at photos, and help try to shine some light onto what we can.
I mean, even just accessing information with the internet. I mean, in the past, you'd have to like go to the public library, dig through the records. If somebody stole the records at any point, you have a missing chunk out of it, and then you got to try to figure out that stuff. Nowadays, it's like you can just look stuff up on the internet, and if you know how to use it properly, you can find all of that stuff, like, you know, chronologued into public records and stuff, and do half the research without actually having to physically be there. Cause that was probably half the issue with people making some of these documentaries in the past, is that say you have a week to make the documentary. If you spend 4 days just trying to dig through the public records, you can't really do much of that film footage, but you need that background in history. Now it's like you can do it before you even go out there to make sure it's worth the time, so you're not wasting the effort of going out there and doing the recording and spending a week in public records and not finding anything that you need.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's why we have Salem from our show doing the research. He loves research. He loves lore. He loves cryptid stuff and paranormal stuff. So that's his jam right there. So he's the one to go out and do that stuff, which is fine. I'm doing it, and then we have a couple other people doing it with us. So he's doing that dossier for us.
Hey man, if you ever end up making it to Michigan and you want somebody to pop on and hopefully help you out with some stuff. I mean, I'm near the Detroit area. I'd absolutely love to pop on. And actually, I'm about to start doing this other part-time job where I do paranormal tours through Detroit. So I may even have some more background for you guys on some more Detroit stuff, because I'm going to have a reason in particular to dive extra far into some of this stuff.
Ooh. Yeah, like I said, we are planning, because like I said, I'm in Northwest Indiana. One of the guys is in Illinois. One of the other guys is in Michigan. And those are the three states that we're planning on doing first, because it's all local. It's just a couple hour drive for us at most. So that way we're able to go there multiple times, not have to worry about taking off of work to do stuff like that. So we're going to weekend warrior the show. So,
hey, and even if you got a weekend warrior it twice, I mean, still not that far of a drive. I mean,
no. I mean, where I live, have you ever heard of the ghost of Klein Avenue?
I think I have. Yeah.
It's essentially the woman in white, essentially, again, right? It's La Llorona. That's like 2 miles from my house. have you heard of Reeder Road?
I don't think I have. I'm not too familiar with I haven't been down to Illinois enough. I think I've only been there like twice. I haven't dug too much into the lore as far as Illinois goes.
Yeah,
Illinois, so, Indiana area, that is going so that way.
That's like two miles from my house. So we're able to do stuff locally first, just to see how it goes. And that's what we're doing, you know. Let's face it, in Illinois we have that cemetery, Resurrection Cemetery, where, you know, bodies were buried on top of bodies. Every high schooler growing up went there for some ghost hunt at some point in time. So it is considered the most haunted cemetery in the United States.
See, the cemetery stuff's always been kind of, like, I don't want to say confusing by any means, but, like, you'd think that either one, it'd be a place that's almost dead with activity because the bodies are buried and done and over with, and why would you want to stay around your dead body? Or on the other side, it has the most activity because there's that tie to the real world. But the question is, like, would cemetery spirits be more of like the ones that are going to mess with you and be like the evil ones? Or are they going to be the ones that are more like lost and are just like connected to their real world body? And you may have some glimpses of them, but they're not like the type that are going to be throwing shit across the room, like poltergeists, for example.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we want to do. We want to go to these, all these different things. You know, obviously the idea of fencing in cemeteries, the ironclad fences are there for purification reasons, obviously. And you go into the lore of what you think that you can with ghosts, that, you know, iron is purifying. So it's just interesting to see open cemeteries versus closed cemeteries and what that even makes a difference to.
I mean, they can still go up, right? They're spirits, they're ghosts. So unless you have to go across the top, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like I said, you know, knowing a lot of the lore that I know, then the idea is that you have that circle. You know, the circle's a circle. You can always go above it, but it still builds, you know, the idea of a force field kind of around something too. So you break that circle.
Hey, man, if you open the gate to the cemetery, wouldn't it be breaking the circle if you're doing it by the same rules as like a seance circle?
Oh, absolutely.
So every time you enter the cemetery, it's like the gates are irrelevant.
That's okay.
Broke the circle. You just got to have a priest standing by there and just blessing the gate every single time somebody passes through.
Do you ever watch Zach from Ghost Adventures, his demon house?
I started watching it, but I don't think I finished it. I think I fell asleep like with a little bit left on it.
All right. So sorry to burst anyone's bubble that knows that story from the house in Gary, Indiana. My parents personally know the priest. Everyone said, even the cops, I know people did IT with the cops. They're doing it for the money. All made up.
Are we talking about the Monroe house
in Gary, Indiana?
Blackford. It's right across from Blackford County Jail. Cause I always get mixed up. Cause there's so many different devil houses that there's the one I always think of is the Monroe house, which is in Indiana. And I wasn't sure if it's the same one, but I know it's right by Blackford County Jail. So I think the city is technically like Blackford County or something like that.
It's a house that he purchased about the gates to hell, the demon house. Like I said, the guy from Ghost Adventures bought it and he actually demolished it.
So I think it's a different house then. The Monroe house is still standing.
Yeah. So like I said, it's interesting because I see a lot of people talk about that and just go, I know the people involved with it. So, and that's the thing. That's kind of what you want to investigate too, is that part of it too, is to see what lore is there as well. If it's just, in this case, was a shameless cash grab, quite honestly, unfortunately, but hey, stuff like that kind of ruins paranormal research.
See, it kind of sucks on both ends though. Cause it's like, I hear a lot of people in the paranormal, like talk bad about all the big ghost show guys, and it's a matter of selling out. I mean, it is what it is, but like, it sucks that like, I don't think that they ever went into that with the intention of exploiting it to the point that they did. I think it was mainly the fact that a lot of these guys like got the opportunity to start a TV show early. And because they did, they were like paving the way where any bump and noise, people are interested in it. But now that they've been around for years, it's like, that's not enough for people anymore. It's not enough for the TV stations anymore. So it's like, there's a lot of guys that are doing it, but I feel like there's a group of people that are doing it because they want to be the popular paranormal guys. And then there's the other side of it that are doing it because if they don't, they're going to lose their TV contract, and they, you know, that's their, you can't be mad at a man for making his money. You know what I mean? Like, don't exploit the paranormal. Like, the research is definitely important, but once you've already established a TV show, like that's your career, that's what you do. Like, if you don't have that, what are you going to do? Then it's just like, you kind of get stuck between a rock and a hard place. And it's like, you almost have to do that. And in turn, the community hates you and you end up messing up the research. But in turn, it's just like, if you didn't, there's a possibility that dude may have lost everything he had. So it's like, I'm not trying to say it's okay that they're doing that, but at least like that's how I kind of rationalize it in my mind. I hope that there's the good ones out there. Well, I guess it still wouldn't be considered a good one because they're still selling out, but the ones that aren't just doing it for the sake of being famous, but yeah. almost because they're like forced to do it, you know? So it's not them necessarily like that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think we are different, is that we want to eliminate things. We want to eliminate possibilities of get explanations going. You know, obviously we're not the only ones that do that. We want to come from the skeptical mind, which a lot of these shows come from the open mind.
Every you know bump, I mean? They're like, it was a demon.
Right. Right. You know, and that, yes, I know that makes great TV. and I get that. And it's just a way for me to, I've been around to 48 states already in my life, and just a way to just go and just visit old America to learn about the legends and lores, and just a way to learn. And that's where we're viewing it too.
I mean, it's one of those things too. I say it all the time on the show, but keeping stories and folklore alive, because think about how much awesome folklore and stories may have been lost through time, because at just a certain point, people stopped sharing it and respreading it. And now we're in the digital age where it's like, you can tell a story once and it's like documented on the internet now. Like,
right.
I feel like we need to do as much as we can to try to collect all of these old stories that are about lost in time and put them into a digital medium so that they aren't completely lost in time. Like, I think it's really important work, because realistically, like, that's America's folklore, like at its roots, you know, like Sasquatch, all that stuff. Like, it's America's lore. It's America's folklore. And if we don't do what we can to preserve it, it's going to be just lost through time or completely forgotten about, you know?
Oh yeah. That's why we're sticking just to the United States. This is because it's where we are. It's where we live. We want to pay homage to it.
Yeah. I mean, got to hit home first, man. And like I said, it's like, you can go to other countries and document and save their stories, but you know, there's not enough of it in America. They like, try to save as much as we can, because there's a lot of very local specific sectioned off towns for years and years and years that, you know, if it wasn't for people coming into these towns and, you know, putting cameras in the people's, I don't want to say putting cameras in people's faces, but giving people the opportunity to talk on a microphone, you know, it could just literally just get lost amongst that town too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
I guess kind of starting to wrap up toward the end, man. I always like to leave things on a high note with words of wisdom. So if there was any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners, you know, be it something that you just really enjoy, maybe something to other horror buffs or people thinking about getting into their own films or anything like that, what would be some words of wisdom you might want to bestow on the listeners?
I would say, especially with what we've been doing with the podcast, what we're doing with the shows, what we're doing with the movies, is just do it. It sounds easier than it is.
Nike had it right.
Exactly. You have your vision. Don't let your vision of your project be spoiled by anything else. Because you go, I have this great idea. I want to share with the world. Are people going to shit on it? Yes, they are. It's absolutely going to happen. But you have to be thick-skinned. You have to move past it, because quite honestly, no one's going to be the worst critic than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it doesn't take off right away, it doesn't take off. Keep at it. Just do what you want to do. Just do what you love and be true to yourself of whatever project you have.
I mean, prime example, man, Squid Game. Obviously everybody knows what that is. Extremely popular. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that I feel like they gave away too many cards in the first season, so they're not really going to be able to do any more with it. But that guy, man, he was trying to sell that story for like 10 years and nobody was picking up on it. Then all of a sudden Netflix picked up on it and like, look where it is now. And he didn't want to change his story. He wanted to keep it exactly how he had it. You know, it's just a matter of also just sticking the course, you know, because a lot of people give up on something if it doesn't work out after a couple tries. But it's like, I've heard a bunch of, not trying to idolize celebrities by any means, but a bunch of people that say like, you never know when you're going to make it. You know, if you keep working at it and you give up today, you may have made it tomorrow, you know, and if you spend your whole life, you could be 60 and you're still trying to do it. All of a sudden you decide to give up. But if you would have just kept doing it until you're 61, you could have made it past that. It's like a matter of running the course and just doing it, because one, you enjoy it and not losing that touch of it. And don't let people discourage you to the point where you give up on it. Cause again, tomorrow may be the day if today isn't, but you never know if you give up on it.
Oh yeah. And don't worry about, you know, budget and special effects. Cause if you have a great story, people are going to dig the story no matter what. And you can always remake it 20 years with Blumhouse.
So for anybody that might want to come and check out all of the awesome stuff that you do, possibly be able to keep tabs on when all of these different movies and stuff that you're working on are coming out, where can people find you across the internet? Where can they find your shows, and where can they get updates on all the stuff going on that you're working on?
Yeah. So you can follow us on all social media at Pod Out at Night. That's our Instagram and that's our Twitter handle. That's why we post all our stuff. And it's not on, we do have a Facebook page, but you can find it on my real name, Matt Van Bullegrave, on Facebook. Hit me up. I love to hear from people. And yeah, you can follow our YouTube channel, which is Pod Out at Night, where we post our podcast that we do each week. And we have Conversations Void, where we interview people in the horror world every week, except these past 2 weeks because time constraints. yeah, and you can follow, like I said, it's up. You always want to be on my show. We have, you know, they mostly Pod Out at Night, mostly.com, really short website name. And we have great stuff come out all the time. We have horror parody merch we're working with a comic book artist to make.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
We're going to be launching merch. So parody stuff. I'm excited for that too. That's our newest in Denver. And listen, go to comicconradio.com and listen to our podcast there and other great podcasts that we love and associate with.
Well, man, I appreciate you making the time to come on today. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the movies that you're going to put out in the future that you're working on and or going to be working on soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course, man. We'll have to come around and do this again. Once you get some of these movies and stuff out, maybe we can come on and talk more about your movies and spotlight them a little bit and give out more information, because I know you said you're working on them right now. But once they're out and about, then we can really dive into it. We can put in, you know, kind of give our background and thoughts on it and everything. And hey, man, even if you send them to me, maybe I can even watch them and we can discuss them on the show in the future.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in being a guest on the show, having me as a guest on your show, sponsoring the show, or getting a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or through social media, Instagram or Facebook, or you guys can get a hold of me through the submission forms, which are available on the link tree, of course. And if anybody's interested in podcast or audiobook production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media, see what I might be able to do for you to make your job a little bit easier. And every single thing that I mention is available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.